Now's the time, I guess. No, bear with me for a little bit here. I'm going to start off by telling you about our ministry. Haven't given an update here yet in the church. I've visited a lot of other churches already. Most of you know us. We've been down in Mexico for 6 years now, and it's gone by pretty fast. Right now, we're working with the Bryans. That's who we started working with. A group came down, I don't know, 3 years ago. A little over 3 years, 3 years this ago. And on. Yay. And got to visit us, and we're still in the same town, same street. Some of you helped paint my house, and the water has damaged that, so if anyone wants to come back down, I could use a fresh coat. But we've been in Zacatecas the whole time. We went there for language school, and we ended up staying. The Lord put it on our heart just to keep working there in town with Brother Brian. He's a veteran missionary. If you read our prayer letters, I mention him a lot in the prayer letters. So when we first got there, he had a church of about 60-ish people in a house that the church is renting. And through our first couple of years, that number has grown. Right now, it's about 100 that come every Sunday morning to service. So that's a blessing. We're still working on a new building there that should fit, I don't know, 200 to 300 people, depending on how you put the chairs in. So we're excited about that. Hopefully that'll... I've said this for about 5 years now, though. Hopefully that building will get done this year. But it's really close, and the funds are almost raised for that. And that would be exciting to finally be in it. It's all walled in, and we're just waiting to do some electric, the tile, and the fixtures around the toilets and sinks and all that. Please pray that hopefully there was some stuff done while I was gone, and we can get there, and it'll be close to ready to go. I'll just take you through, I think the best way to describe it is one of our normal week. We work in three different churches, so they can get confusing sometimes. The Sunday mornings, we're in what we call the big church in Guadalupe, and that's the one Pastor Brian started a bunch of years ago. So there on Sunday mornings this last year, we started a Sunday school class, my family. There was about 30-something kids in one class. We only had one Sunday school. And it was just, as the church grew, the class grew, and it was too much. So we took the smaller kids with us, and we have about 15, 18 kids in our Sunday school class. So we use that also as a teaching opportunity to train other teachers. So I'll teach and have a helper, and then I let them teach, and we try to do that to build up a helper. So every Sunday morning, I teach Sunday school. And then on Sunday evenings, we were going out to a church plant in Tacualeche. And there, we got to the purpose of one of the reasons of working with Pastor Brian was to learn how to do a lot of this stuff. In Mexico and plant a church. And so we got to tag along with him, knocking on the first doors and finding a place to rent and all that kind of stuff. So that church is still going there. That's more Pastor Brian's ministry, but we help with that. I pastor it while he is not there. I was just pastoring it for 6 months before we came here as he was on furlough. So please pray for that church in Tacualeche. And then Monday through Friday, we have an ACE school at the church. We had 11 students last year. I do that age group. It's a mix between my kids and kids that are in the children's homes. There's a boys' home and a girls' home. The girls' home is much larger. I think they have 17 something girls right now, and there is 5 or so boys in the boys' home. So when you all came to visit us, that is now the boys' home. So we don't live in that house. We live where we moved to, across the street almost. And now that's the boys' home. We still do school in the basement, or the basement, the downstairs where you all got flooded out. That's my classroom. Luckily, it's never flooded again. That was quite a night. Man, we're sitting there. Everyone's lined up sleeping on the floor, and I feel a couple of drips. What is going on? And then a torrent. It's just like a waterfall comes roaring through the roof. That was a good night. Man. So that's our classroom now. So I have a mixture of students. Most are from the children's home. The ones who have been there a while have learned to speak English. So I teach them all in English with the AC material. It comes from Lydia was my youngest up to about 17-year-olds. So it's a whole span of kids there. So that's every morning. And then we started an institute this last year which was something we're really pushing, trying to get going. Praise the Lord, we got one going. We had 8 students start the semester, and that was on Tuesdays and Fridays, the Teaching Institute classes. And then on Wednesdays, we have church again in the big church, like normal, Sunday morning and Wednesday night are in Guadalupe. And that night, I'm the team pastor. We have about 15, 18-ish teenagers that come, which is a blessing. We're praying for them. A number have given their life to the Lord. We've already went to one teen camp this year, and we're leaving tomorrow. The plan is to get back for teen camp next week. So we got to drive back this week to go to teen camp next week. And we also have on Thursdays is our third church, and that's where the Lord put it on our hearts to start a church, and that's in Villas de Guadalupe. So me and my wife and family were in charge of that ministry. We were driving through this town picking up people to bring to church. Every Sunday we have a bus route. If you have a car in Mexico, you have a bus route because not many people have a car. So our van, the 12-passenger, our high is 34 people in there. We broke our previous record. So we pack them in. The first time we were talking about picking up kids for VBS here, they said, oh, there might be 20-something. I'm like, oh, I can fit that in my van. And I had to remember, wait, that's not legal here. I might get in trouble if I do that here. So we pack them in. So we were driving through this one neighborhood, Villas, and it's a new place. There was a lot of new construction. And Sunday mornings when we got there to pick up people, the Catholic Church would be dismissing their early mass, and they were giving out food for people, so it'd be a big, long line of people. And then when we dropped off the route, we would see Jehovah's Witnesses a lot knocking on doors in the afternoon. And through that, thousands of houses that are there, we were picking up one teenage girl. So the Lord put it on my heart that this neighborhood needed a church. So I went to talk to Pastor Brian about it, and he told me that they had a house there that we could use rent-free. A family, Christian family, had moved to a different town, gave him the keys to the place, and said as long as he uses it for the work of the Lord, he could have it. So, praise the Lord, we took some time cleaning it up. That's about 2.5 years ago now that we started that ministry. And now we have about 4 or 5 families coming faithful to that. So we're excited about that. We do a lot of big days in outreach ministries. We have VBS coming up in August, and I'm also trying to squeeze in 3 one-day VBSs on Saturdays. Last time we did a big day in Villas, it was supposed to start at 6 or 5, I don't remember. But at start time, there was only like 4 or 5 kids there. So I was kind of depressed, if you'd say, discouraged by the number of kids there. And we had a tent set out in the road. We had all dressed up like superheroes. I was wearing a cape and a mask, and we were walking through the neighborhood inviting kids. So I got inside, and I just prayed for a while, and we waited, and about when things normally start, 45 minutes late, there was 80 kids there. So that was a big blessing. And we don't normally get to minister to a lot of those kids because they don't have permission often to come to the church. The Catholic Church does teach, we're just lumped in. If you're not part of the Catholic Church, you are, you know, a cult, and they're told not to go there. So, but with special days, we're able to get a lot of kids, and even the parents come. We did a Christmas one. We couldn't go outside, but we packed in the little house. It probably seats about 30, max 25, and we had like 60-something people in there. I mean, it was like this. So I took the parents into what is normally the kids' class. It's just a 2-bedroom house where the kitchen is wide enough that if you open the fridge door, you would hit the wall. It's just a little skinny thing. It's a tiny little house. So I took the parents into the kids' room, and I got to preach the gospel to them while the kids were out listening to Pastor Ibarra. He helps a lot. He's the assistant pastor. He also lives in the boys' home, so he runs the boys' home. So there's 3 of us working together, Pastor Brian, Pastor Ibarra, who's a Mexican man, and then our family. I think that's about it. We do, you know, my wife's teaching piano lessons. I started guitar classes, too. And, you know, we're just trying ladies' meetings, all kind of stuff. Everything you do here is about what we do down there. And we do it in Spanish instead. And the culture is a little different. But does anyone have any questions about Mexico or about our ministry? I know I just covered a lot of information really fast. And it all makes sense to me, but that doesn't mean it makes sense to you. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, ma'am. The whole process from deputation is about 9 years, but we've only been in Mexico 6 of those. Yes. Any other questions? We just go from Anna's age. Our first survey trip was when she was 6 weeks old or something, and we started deputation shortly after that. So, any other questions? Well, if you think of something, any other? I'm sorry. Oh yeah, we love visitors. You want to come visit us? You're welcome to come. There's an empty lot near our house, and there's plenty of room to put down sleeping bags out there. No. No, it's a nice. Brother Rice is like, nope, I'm not coming. Forget that. You could fight the dogs for a sleeping place that roam the streets at night. Seriously, if anyone is interested in coming to visit a mission field or just to help with anything, you don't have to speak Spanish to be a help. Just let me know. I did put on the table next to those three sign-up sheets a stack of our prayer cards again. The same ones we had last summer when we came up because we did not have another baby. So I don't have to make new cards. My dad has a stack on his wall in his house, and every single one has an extra person in it. So this is the first time I didn't have to make another one. So if you don't already have one, please grab that. And it's to remind you to pray for us, of course. And then I gave some to the kids this morning in junior church, but I put a bowl next to it filled with these little Mexican, it's 50 cents, 50 centavos, and it's half a peso, 50 cents. If a peso is a dollar, this is 50 cents. It's only worth about 2.5 cents American. There's some 50s, some 20s, and some 10s out there. And the purpose of this is just another way to try to con you into praying for us. Amen. If you put this maybe in your coin purse or around your house somewhere, or men keep it in your pocket, and when you think you found a dime and you realize it was Mexican, if you could remember to pray for us, we'd appreciate it. When you see it, just remember when you see it to pray for us. Amen. If I can buy your prayers with 2.5 cents, I will do it. Amen. But please only take, you know, one, maybe two. If your kids show up at home and they have a pocket full, you can just make out the check to Roy Seatman and put it in the... How does it get to me, Pastor? Okay, just like that. Yes, sir. The biggest thing is going to be the VBS that's next. Our usual helper can't come, so it just leaves more planning for me and preaching. And then we are praying for... I really want to do a bunch of outreach days this year in communities we can't get to. I mean, we can knock on doors a couple times a week, and there always seems to be, we never knocked over there, and there's a little town outside over there. So we're going to try to, this fall before school starts, I was going to try to do three, and then throughout the year keep that up. And if you could just keep those in prayer, the idea is to go out in the early morning or early afternoon, knock on doors, invite people, set up like in a town park or square, and then have the event in the evening for a couple hours. Do games, do Bible lessons, and preach the gospel to them. So if you could pray along those lines. We're also praying for the building to be finished. Well, last time I talked to Pastor Brian, we were short about $10,000 to get that done. So we're praying for that to come in, because if we have more space, there's more we can do at church. And then the Institute can hopefully grow and things like that. A lot more dedicated space. Any other questions? Yes. We do it in 5 days. It's about 40 hours of driving, a little more. Yeah. Any other? Okay, well, if you see me after, feel free to ask. I am going to try to preach short because we have a lot of packing still to do. And I already see people nodding off. So let's stay with me today. I won't preach for too long. What time is it? Oh, it's only 4. We got plenty of time. Man. Church starts at 6, right? So I'll fill in the gap between now and 6, and then we'll start service. Amen. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. This message I'm going to preach tonight, I always feel like when I preach here that I have so much I want to preach, because I get to do it so little that I feel like everything that God spoke to me throughout the year I have to cram into one message, so you understand, you know, what's been going on. So this message has changed I have three different colors of pen written in my notes, and I got arrows pointing every which way. So bear with me as tonight, or this afternoon, or this evening. What is it, Brother Rice?
Afternoon.
This afternoon. Amen. But I want to preach to you tonight about a burden. A burden. Now, when you hear the word burden, I think of it negatively, usually. Because it means work, when you have a burden. You can think of a burden as carrying something, and I brought some illustrations for that here tonight, hopefully to keep you awake and engaged. But a burden doesn't have to be a negative thing in Scripture. You can have a positive burden. But the point is with a burden is that you can only carry so much. You can only carry so much. I like the idea of backpacking. I haven't done it in a while to tell you if I actually like backpacking, but I like the idea of backpacking. Now, the men here every year take a canoe trip. Why do we take a canoe trip? It's because you can fit a lot more inside a canoe, because you don't have to carry all the burden. Is Mr. Lauk here? There's Mr. Lauk. Hi, Mr. Lauk. I heard stories. I wasn't there the year when the canoe was set low. But it's easy to not realize how much you have on you, how much burden you're carrying. Because you think about yourself, and you... I'll just break out some of the stuff here. This is a backpacking bag. Not the best quality. I got it on sale. Never used it. But they say an adult male on a backpacking trip should carry 20% of their body weight. So if you weigh 185 pounds like me, then... I'll humor you and round it up to 200. So 40 pounds is all I should carry. 40, yeah. If you get much bigger than that, you got to carry yourself too. So you can't just keep going. A 500-pound guy isn't going to walk through the woods with a 100-pound pack. It's not going to happen. But there's a limit. Because you have to go a distance. The longer you want to travel, if you want to do multiple 7-day, a week, you know, or a month trip where you're traveling every day, you want to get that number as low as possible. Backpacking equipment is very expensive. Why? Because they work hard to make it as light as possible. People that are serious about backpacking, they weigh every single ounce. They weigh every single ounce. If they can spend $50 more and save an ounce, some guys who are really into it, well, of course, why wouldn't I? Because every single ounce is important. For you and me, when we think about backpacking, or I'm going to go on a hike into the woods, we don't think like an extreme backpacker. So I brought some examples here tonight. Who's ready to backpack? Mr. Buck, you look like you're ready. Come on up. It's nothing outrageous. Don't worry. You can do it. No, it's not nothing. Now, here I have a tent. Up here. If you're going to go backpack, you need a tent. Yes? Yes. So I bought a tent. This is for my family. Now, you see the tent. You see the bag. You see a problem. So here's your tent, Mr. Buck. Okay? And then you need the poles that go in that tent. Now, how much do you think that weighs?
30 pounds.
30 pounds? I think it's a little bit more. So that should be all Mr. Buck should carry.
Okay.
Just about. Where's his food? Where's his clothes? Where's his supplies?
Oh, no.
Doesn't have anything. So, water, very important thing. A man should drink a gallon a day. If you're hiking, you're going to be doing a lot more work. So, this is roughly the quantity you need for 3 days.
Oh,
I'm scared you're going to break my straps.
I don't want to break the straps. Oh, this is, you're all right.
You good? What do you got now?
60 pounds?
60 pounds? You can set it down. Just set it down. And then you think food. That's why I brought the cooler. Whenever I see a cooler, like I think of Brother Humby's first canoe trip. and it was just like 20 pounds of hot dogs. What more do you need? Thank you. You can eat them cold, you can eat them hot, you can eat them frozen, you can boil them, grill them, they're good. But a mistake we make is we don't realize how quick things add up. You know what's why this tent is so big? Or so heavy, I should say. It's heavy because it's big. It's bigger than the stage when you set it up. It's a huge tent for my whole family. It's a lot more than I need. If I'm going in the woods, I also have a small tent that fits two people. Me and Isaiah used it on one trip. That's all you need. It weighs a whole lot less. And when we prepare for a trip like this, or we prepare to take on life, it's easy to carry more than you need. It's easy to get going and keep going. The day it comes to pack for the canoe trip, I go to the store, I buy my food I want to bring, I lay out my clothes that I want to bring, I have everything ready, some extra knickknacks, and then I put it all in a pile, and it's probably twice as big as I'm supposed to bring with me. When we go through life, it's easy to do that too. This is a food you can use backpacking. I have Granny's homestyle potato soup. I don't think Granny made it like this, but it's just a powder you add some water to, and this is supposed to feed two people for a meal. That's a lot lighter. It's a lot smaller. I have this little water bottle. It's got a filter in it. So as long as the water is not mud, you can fill this up and drink. I'm scared to try it. But on the next canoe trip or backpacking trip, this is what I'm going to try to bring with me to try it. I could bring cases of water, or I could bring a filter. Which one is less burden? Obviously the filter. Less to carry. As we read here in Matthew chapter 11, Christ is speaking in verse 28, some very famous verses. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Every single person in here is already carrying a burden. Multiple burdens. Life is full of burdens. We have debt. You have responsibilities. You've got your job. You've got your house. You've got your kids. You've got everything you're planning for. And then we put extras on top of it, where we're going to go on vacation, what kind of car we can get, how big our retirement's going to be, I see appliances now. You walk through some of these stores, I mean, they got screens. What is the one? Brother Bauman knows all this stuff. You can see what's in your fridge from your phone. Got like a camera. Some of them you just hit a button and it lights up what's inside your fridge, so you don't have to open your fridge door to see what's inside. Some have TVs built into them. You can watch on your refrigerator. Some you can get showers with TVs inside the shower if you want. If that's your goal, you're taking on a lot of extra weight. This tent could probably sleep 12 people in it. I don't need to bring it on a two-man backpacking trip. That's another thing, Brother Humby, I think of that. Whew, he had a huge tent the first year. On a hill. It was funny. You know what? It's nice. I want the space. I want the luxury. I want to be able to spread out and breathe. We can work for a lot of things that we don't need. And especially in this country, it's easy to work for things you don't need. Because you're getting preached at, they don't call it preaching, they call it advertising, all day long that you need this thing. And I'm not going to get into tonight about what you should have, what you shouldn't have, how many square feet your house should be, because I don't know any of that stuff. That's between you and God. But I want to challenge you tonight to look at your life and see what you have that's a burden in a negative way. See what you're carrying that you don't need to carry. And I'll show you why in a second. It says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason why we should not be burdened down with too much of what this world has to offer is because with Christianity comes another burden. With Christianity comes another burden. Go with me to Malachi chapter 1. This is the verse I read that started this message. Malachi 1. We're just going to read verse 1. Malachi 1:1. Last book of the Old Testament. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. When Malachi received the word of the Lord, he received what? What did he receive? A burden. He received a burden. If our backpack here is full because I want a 12-man tent, and then the Lord says, here's a burden from me, where am I going to put it? How am I going to carry it? If my life is full of stress and worry and sin and concern and all the problems that this world has to offer, and then the Lord comes and says, I have a burden for you to carry. He says, I can't handle anymore. I can't handle anymore. What are some examples of Christian burden? As a pastor, we get to deal with a lot of people. And this is something I didn't... There's no practice for an institute. There's a lady, a couple ladies in Mexico, who have some really hard lives. And they come and they want prayer, they want counsel. One lady had a child out of marriage. And the child's a teenager now. Many, many years have gone by. Her husband knew. But, you know, it was a secret. The man moves into town and starts dating like a family member. Weird situation. When the family member finds out, the female, she just starts telling everyone. And this lady is probably the biggest soul winner in the whole church. She's not living in sin now. It was 15 years ago. It's confessed. It's taken care of. But it's just thrown again right in her face. She would have people walk by screaming, harlot, whore, just to harass her. She used to have run a little business out of her house selling diapers and things like that to get some extra money. She had to shut it down. She was given a burden to carry. And then when we listen and try to give counsel, now I have part of that burden. Another lady came to me. She has a son. Eloisa is her name. She knows her husband has multiple women. She has no other solution. She has no income, no job, no house, no family. So she has to live in his house with her son. Her son has been, I don't want to say poisoned, a strong word, by his family. She's the subject of domestic violence. She doesn't know what to do. They don't have a woman's shelter there where you can send her. They don't have things like that. We don't have a place for her to live in. She's got a burden. And now I have part of that burden. The scripture teaches us, go with me to Galatians 6. The work of God comes with burdens. And every single one of us should be involved in the work of God. Not everyone will be a pastor, but as a Christian, you're part of the work of God. You're part of this body of Christ. And as part of this body of Christ, part of your responsibility as a family member is to bear one another's burdens. And that's what it says here in verse number 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We bury the burdens of others in the church. We carry their concerns. We carry the weight of their burdens to support them, to pray for them, to try to help them. But if our bag is already full with, I need a bigger house, I got to take care of my car, I want one of those appliances with the the LED screen. I've got to worry about my mortgage. I got all this. I got this. I got this. I got this. Then we're overwhelmed. And you can't carry any more burden. It says in verse number 1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." I had a situation where I found out a friend was involved in some stuff. And I didn't know what to do, so I went to Pastor Huber. So what can I do? I have this information. I wish I did not have this information. But now that I know, what do I do? It would have been easier not to carry that burden. To have said, "Oop, get that one off me. I don't want to have to worry about this. It's not my concern." But once you take it on, you have it. And he gave me counsel as to what to do. We took care of it. Whew, good. But you have to be able to carry a burden. We have the burden in ministry, the burden of the brethren. We have trials of faith. That's a burden. James chapter 1, go with me there. James chapter 1, I got to keep it turning. James chapter 1, "My brethren," verse number 2, "count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Joy to fall into temptation? Why would I want that burden? "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Patience. We have burdens that come with temptation. We have burdens that come with the trying of our faith. But if our backpack, our life, is already full with the things of the world, how can we carry more burdens? There's a burden that comes with the Great Commission. We see in John chapter 4, one of my favorite chapters of Scripture, when Jesus is witnessing to who's in John chapter 4? The Samaritan woman at the well. He sends his disciples in the town to do what? To go get some food. They haven't eaten. That's like a picture of this stuff here. Go get some food. Go get some water. Jesus, he has a different priority. He starts witnessing to this woman. And then the disciples come back. I think it was Brother Spurgeon mentioned this years ago. I think it was Brother Spurgeon. You know, we guess that the disciples might have crossed paths with this woman, one way or the other. And they didn't witness to her. They didn't spend any time with her, because the burden they had was this stuff. The burden Christ had was, where's this woman going to spend eternity? When the rest of the town came to hear, the disciples said, "Lord, you need to eat." And he says, "No, I've got my own burden." He needed physical food. He put it aside. Why? So he could accomplish the will of his Father. And then we also think of, I was thinking about the garden. When Jesus sends his disciples to pray, and he prays, what do the disciples do? Sleep. And like Braden here. Out. And my daughter over there. Out. And like Jacob up here. No, not Jacob. He's awake. Out cold. Why? Because the burdens they had during the day took them out. So when it was time to pray, they didn't have the energy, they didn't have the desire, they didn't have who knows what. Because the whole burden of the day wore them out physically. That's about my whole message. I'm just going to ask you tonight to examine your life. Or what are the goals in your life? Find out what you're working for. I know I'm spoiled. I get to be full-time in the ministry, and that's a huge blessing in my life. So I get to dedicate a lot of time to serving the Lord. And that's a luxury the vast majority of people don't have. I like to keep my calendar full when we're working. Because I figure if I'm receiving an income, I should be putting in 40 hours a week too in the work of the Lord. And I get to be spoiled in that way. I think you all have it harder. Because our responsibility to reach the world isn't more or less because I'm a missionary and you're not. I think Christ puts the responsibility, the Great Commission, on your shoulders too. I don't think just because I'm pastor of a church or team pastor that I have to bear more burdens when it says, bear ye one another's burdens. He's talking to the whole church. You have to carry that burden too. When it's time to pray, when it's time to fast, when it's time to support the church, when there's a trial of your faith, do you have the strength to carry that burden? There's that old saying, the straw that broke the camel's back. There comes a point where I just can't take any more. The Lord will never bring you to that point with His burdens. Because how did we start the whole thing in Matthew? What did it say? For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So if you're in life and you feel like, oh, I can't do any more, I can't take another step, I can't handle one more thing. If that one more thing happens, forget it, I'm done. I don't think that's the Lord bringing you to that point. That's you trying to carry a 12-man tent, a couple gallons of water, 8 pairs of clothes, and you have to simplify all of this. Make it smaller. Make it less of your life. Make it less important, so that when Christ comes with something that does matter, you have the strength, you have the resources, you have the time to do His will. And you didn't waste it all on the things that are going to stay here in this life. Amen? Let's close in prayer, and I'll have Pastor Russo, if you want to come up and close the service. Amen.
Appreciate that, Roy. So true. How many times have we worn ourselves out weary in what we would consider well-doing? Trying to do too much, trying to carry too much. Let's all stand. Maybe you're trying to carry something that you ought not to. In a moment, we'll just have a brief time invitation. You can come. Maybe you just want to lay it at the altar. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the message. Thank You for the seatmans. And Lord, I pray that You'd use this message in our life. Lord, that we would make application of it. And that we not get worn out. That we become ineffective. Because we're carrying too much. Lord, help us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the